Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Atta Shabdartha Vritti Traya Nirupanam. Now, this chapter will be about, will describe the three modes of sound and meaning. Or rather, let's make this to be a Shashi Tatpurusha, the meaning of sounds, the meaning of words. Words express their meaning in three different ways. It was indicated previously that the body of the Kavya Purusha is both sound and their meanings. Sound and meaning. The word Shabda can mean just sound. It's the element sound. But in study of language, we're not interested in just all kinds of sounds, the roar of a lion or the beep of a horn. We're interested in what we call articulate sound, sounds that make up languages used by human beings. So let's assume we're talking about that kind of sound. We're not talking about beeps and roars. We're talking about coherent sound that makes up language. And that's what we mean by Shabda. And of course, Shabda also means word. You have words made up of aksharas. And then you have vakyas, sentences made up of words. And then you have larger compositions made up of vakyas, sentences. And it makes sense to use Shabda to mean word, not letter, not sentence. Because the basic element of meaning is a word. Words, of course, a sentence has a meaning of its own. The whole sentence has a meaning. It's not the same as the meaning of each of the words, right? The meaning of a sentence is not exactly just the sum total of the meaning of all the words in the sentence. It's something in addition. So a bigger unit than a word can have meaning, but a smaller generally doesn't. Individual letters don't have normally regular meanings. May have some sort of mystical or figurative meaning, but that's not how they usually work. You have to put enough letters together to make a word, and then it has some meaning. If I just throw letters at you that don't make up whole words, or just part of words, or just gibberish, they don't convey any meaning. But when it's a recognizable word that has been formed by those letters, then some meaning is apparent. So therefore, the basic unit that expresses meaning is the word. And that's what we mean by Shabda here. Words and the meaning of the words. Those two things constitute the body of poetry. We have the soul of poetry, but this is the body of poetry. Nice to have a soul. The soul's the essence. But if he doesn't have a body, he can't do anything. Then he's just a ghost. Even in the spiritual world, they give people bodies so they can do something. They can express themselves and do things because they have bodies. So it's nice that rasa is the soul of poetry and suggestion, dvani, is its life air. But if there wasn't any body, if you didn't have any actual words, if you didn't have a language made out of words, you wanted to make a language that didn't have any words. You know, a soundless language, some ideal language, doesn't have any words. It has, you know, rasa, and it has dvani, but no words. It's useless. It can't express anything. You've got to have the body for the soul and the life air to express themselves. That's the meaning of that metaphor. So, let's identify, first of all, we have two things that make up the body, Shabda and Artha. Which one are we going to look at first? Well, we can't understand what artha is Because artha belongs to words. Unless we first of all know what a word is, we're not going to know what the meaning of a word is. So we have to define shabda first. Artha is going to be defined in terms of shabda, in terms of words. Let's first of all decide what a word is, or what shabda is. Okay, he's going back to the basic meaning of shabda. The Karaka says, akasha shagunak shabdo. Shabda is the quality of akasha, of ether. Each element, in Vaisheshika philosophy, and I'm almost sure also in Vedanta philosophy, it's a principle, it's an assumption, that each element has one particular quality that belongs to it alone. In fact, every substance has... Every element of nature has a special quality that the other elements doesn't have. Earth has all five qualities, but it has the smell that belongs to it only. What's the special quality of the ether? Sound. I'm sorry, but that's... It does belong to other elements. Anyway, it's a special quality of ether, sound. There are two kinds of such sound. The sound that appears as dwani, and the sound that... the sound that appears as varna, and the sound that appears as dwani. Here, to confuse matters, dwani is being used in a different sense than we used it before. Dwani was before a synonym for vyanjana, suggestion. But we're going back to a more basic definition of sound. We're going to define again the three modes of expression of meaning of words, and dwani is the third one, vyanjana. We're putting that off. We're not talking about that kind of dwani now. We're talking about dwani in a more basic sense, physical sound. In other words, sound exists in the mind as the phonemes, but it also exists as actual sound vibration, physical sound vibration. Comes out of the mouth, enters somebody's ears. What's coming out of the mouth and what's entering the ears is the physical sound. The words that you're thinking inside yourself, before you say them, they're in the more abstract form of... that's called varna. The varnas are eternal, but the sounds that come out of your mouth are far from eternal. They disappear after a short few seconds. The sound, actually, strictly speaking, each sound disappears immediately. It's just that you have a sequence of sounds that makes up the things you say. You say a word, it consists of several sounds. A sentence consists of more sounds. And the sentence may last for a few seconds, but the individual phonemes, the individual aksharas, disappear almost immediately. Physically disappear. They're not there anymore. You may have some remembrance or some trace in your mind, but physically they don't exist anymore. Almost immediately after they're spoken. That's just the nature of sound. Sound doesn't persist. It disappears almost immediately. Light is different. A light ray can continue traveling for thousands of years, but not a sound, not sound. Yes?
Is varna same as phoneme?
Yes.
So is varna sound in the mind, and dwani is sound, physical sound, it comes out of the mind?
Yeah, you can say it like that. Now, the difference, what's different about... Other than one's inside and the other one's outside, what's the real difference, the essential difference between sound as varna and sound as dwani? The sound as varna is eternal. The phonemes are eternal. The letter short a, it's not something that... I open my mouth and I say a. But I didn't create the phoneme. I'm just expressing it as a physical sound. And I can do it 10 times in a row. 10 times. And I can do it again tomorrow, and I can do it again 20 years from now. And someone in the 25th century can also go, That ah is eternal. It's always been there, and it always will be there. It just is expressed, or it's manifest, or disappears at different times. Sounds like an avatar. The phoneme is eternal, but the physical sounds come and go. They're just representatives, representations of the eternal sound. And what is it that, that manifests it? What manifests the eternal sound in the form of physical sound? What's the instrument by which they manifest?
The
air inside your own body. Usually not the air outside the body. Yeah, but usually the air that's blowing through your lungs and coming out of your mouth. With the help of using your tongue and your mouth and your teeth and your lips, makes the manifestation of the physical sound. We have a quote from Shankaracharya about this. This is from another book called the Papanchasara Tantra. Papancha would be creation. Tasmat pavana prerito varna sangha. Well, he just says, therefore, the whole group of all the varnas, they're eternal, they're not created, but they're sent forth into the physical world by pavana, by wind, by air. So, Vayu is an important demigod. He's the one who lets language actually be manifest. And what about the claim that these varnas are eternal? What evidence do we have for that? This is a quote that is not identified. I don't think it's not Bhagavatam. I looked for it. So I'm not sure where this comes from. Satchit Ananda Vibhavat. Maybe this is just a karaka. Is it listed among the karakas? Is it?
Listed among the
karakas. It's not here. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay, so that means it was written by. That's Karmikarna for his own verse. Two and a half verses of Karmikarna for his own that shows that sound is eternal. There's actually a little bit of Puranic history in the words of the author Kavi Karnapur. Satchidananda vibhavat sakalat parameshwarat asit shaktis tato nadas tasmat bindus bindusamud bhavaha nado bindus bijamcha saeva trivido mataha vidyamanat parad bindur ubayatma vavo bhavat Savavat Shruti Sampana Shabda Brahma Bhavat Param. And then he explains it in the Vritti a little bit. This is typical for Kavya Shastra texts that the author will give us the explanation of his own karaka. This is Jiva Goswami gives us Vrittis explaining his own sutras. For textbooks, that's standard. You give a little bit of commentary on your own words. So, what these verses say, first there was manifestation of Shakti, some energy, from the Parameshwara, Supreme Lord, who is Satchidananda Vibhava. Vibhava can mean expansion or opulence. So the opulent expansions of that Supreme Person are Satchidananda. Not only he is Satchidananda, but his opulences and his expansions are Satchidananda also. And he's sakalat. Well, the word sakala we usually understand as an adjective meaning complete. But what's a more literal, what's the derivational meaning of sakala? Yeah, so it can also mean that. The Supreme Lord, who's accompanied by his expansions, his parts, it's not just him in his impersonal form, but along with his different expansions. Vishwanath says that saying that he's Sakala, that he has parts, means that he has a manifest form. He's Murta. He's embodied. Someone who has parts, you can say he has a body. They may not be a human body, but anything that has parts has some kind of body. The parts make up the body. Then it goes on. From the Shakti, that energy of the Supreme, I think the Shakti is identified with time. Let me see. Chit Shakti, his spiritual energy manifested. And from his Chit Shakti comes Nada. We had the word Nada in the previous chapter. What was it?
Primeval sound.
What is a primeval sound? That means when the baby is born, he screams? No, it's before Om. The Om comes out of Nada. Nada is the sound that was there at the beginning of the universe. And it's there now. No, well, anyway, only yogis can experience it. Normally, only yogis experience it. It's a subtle sound, the background sound of the universe. And from that comes the Bindu. The Bindu is the most subtle form of the primeval syllable Om. But it's like the, just a dry, I don't know, some, anyway, it's called Bindu. And then Bindu manifests the Bija, the Bija mantra. And which one is that? There are a number of Bija mantras. Which is the first one? It says Trivid, Trivido. Three kinds, or really three parts. What are the three parts of Om? So the Om comes from the Bindu, which comes from the Nada, and the Nada comes from the spiritual energy of the Supreme. And from that Bindu, maybe Bindu is the same as Bija. Maybe just two different names for the same thing. What is it?
The two stages of sound, I guess, Nada and Bindu, is described somewhere in the Upanishad or anywhere else.
I think Bhavatam, there's going to be a verse from the Bhavatam here. 12th canto, 11th canto. Coming up. Anyway, this original and supreme Bindu turns into sound, Rava. That's actually physical sound. Or rather, sound, physical and mental. Yet it's two forms, and those two forms we were just talking about, the Varna and the Dvani. The internal sound and the external sound. Nada is also called Gosha. That's like the, you know, if you stopped listening to everything, if everything stopped making sound, there'd be something inside you heard. That would be the Nada. But we don't hear it because we're listening to everything else. It's like the stars appear at the night when the sun goes away. So if all the sounds went away, you would hear the Nada. The Bindu, Kavi Kartapura himself is here. The Bindu is Om, Pranava, and it's also called Bija. It's the same thing. Bindu and the Bija are the same. They're both Om. Because it's called the seed, because all the other phonemes come from it. All other phonemes are born out of Om. All the Vedas are born out of Om, therefore. Because the Vedas are born out of the phonemes. No, that just means it divides up. It divides up into Varna and divides up as sound in two forms. It just doesn't mean anybody cut it into pieces or smashed it.
Yeah.
It divides as variety. Yeah, the Bindu appears in those two different forms of Varnas and of Dvanis. This means mental sound, inner sound, and outer sound. internal mental sound and external physical sound. He said, it says two different words of the same thing. Bindu is Bija.
Oh, Bindu is Bija.
Yeah. But calling it Bija is expressing the idea that it's the origin of all the sounds. Yeah, the Bindu is the Bija, which is the seed of all sounds. Okay. Rava is just a term for sound. Rava normally means the cry of an animal, but here it means something you hear, audible sound. Not only audible or perceivable either in the mind or with the ears. Because they have two forms, they have mental form and a physical form. Yes? Yeah, yeah. Actually, there'll be some mention of that. A little more simpler, just stick your fingers in your ears, and you might catch a glimpse of the nada.
We'll read what he says.
I'll try to get it exactly right. I don't think you can just stick your fingers in your ears and hear the nada. I don't think it's that easy. That's easy, you know, nirvana. Yeah, it doesn't shut everything out. If you
hear some sound,
that's the pressure on your eardrum from your finger. It's like you poke yourself in the eye and you think you see the absolute truth. Okay. That's the violin. Chris doesn't play a violin. Okay, I think we're finished. We stop for today. Yes? Yes? Yeah. I don't know if Kami Karnapur was going to. Yes, he did. You see, he didn't in the very first Mangalacharya verse. He was talking about Krishna's food as the source of the original sound.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, I skipped over that first. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. There is a statement for the 11th canto that explains this.
I think 12.
11, 12. The 12th chapter of the 11th canto.
4.
I'll go back to here. Sorry, I lost it. Oh, here, okay. Yes, not the whole verse, but the whole verse is available. It's 11, 12, 17. And it's the words, Pranena Goshena Guham Pravishtaha. I don't know what the subject is. Can we find the verse, the whole verse? Okay, and I have it here. I have half the verse. Saeva Jivo Vivara Prasuti. Pranena Goshena Guham Pavishtaha. Read Prabhupada's translation? Don't you read it anyway?
The Supreme Person of Godhead said, my dear Uddhava, the Supreme Lord gives life to each every living being and is situated in the heart along with the right air and primal sound vibration. The Lord can be perceived in a subtle form within the heart by one's mind. Since the Lord controls the minds of everyone, even great demigods like Lord Shiva.
You're reading the translation or the triple? Okay. Yeah, okay. We only read half the verse. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yes. Well, yeah, well, what I read was first of all one line, then half the verse. We didn't read the other half of the verse. Anyway, the subject, Jiva, here, doesn't mean the finite Jiva. It means the Supreme Lord, who is the source of life. Jiva, Vishwanath here is saying that Jiva here means the Supreme Lord. He enters the heart along with the Gosha. And the Gosha is the same as the Nada. He enters the heart and brings the Nada with him into the heart. And he also brings the Prana. What's the use of the Prana? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in other words, nada can only be actually expressed for communication with the help of air. It's only going to come out of the internal organism. It's only going to come out so that somebody else can hear it if you're breathing. If you're not breathing, you won't be able to say much, express yourself in language. Guham Pravishta, so that Supreme Lord, I guess that's the Super Soul, enters the cave of the heart, and he brings along with him the prana and the gosha, or the life air and the nada. You put the two together, life air and nada, then you can start talking. And poetry is based on that. No nada, no poetry. No, you know, if you don't have language, you don't have words coming out of somebody's mouth, and you can't have any poetry. So we have to talk about these basic things first. But thus, a poet should be expert about how words express themselves, the different ways in which words express themselves. A poet has to know that very well. We have to know that too. Even if we're just studying philosophy, we have to be aware of that. Maybe, but that's their take on it. Nada really means the sound. If you say Nada Brahman, you're talking about the Supreme Truth in the form of sound. Now, if you want to extend that to mean, particularly Lord Shiva, that's just a Shaivite thing. The word actually means sound. You know, for most, except for those Shaivites, if you say Nada Brahman, what you're talking about is spiritual sound. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you all, glory to Srila Prabhupada, Shri Kavi Karnapur, to each other.